This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, and I'm speaking with Tori Amos. Tori, how you doing?
I'm really well, thank you, Joe.
Terrific. Well, you have a new record out called Midwinter Graces. I guess it could be called a Christmas album, but you're calling it more of a seasonal album or a solstice album, correct?
That's correct.
Now, what led you to do this album? I understand it came about a little bit from suggestions from your father, but also the record executive, Doug Morris?
Yes, which is kind of fascinating for me because my dad is a Methodist minister and Doug Morris is a liberal Jewish guy who said to me, my father's been after me to do a Christmas record since I was 2 years old.
Oh, my word.
But Doug said to me, after I did South by Southwest, I was in New York and we were hanging out having a chat, and he said to me, look, I've always wanted to know what you would do because a lot of us are excluded. And he said, in the carols, if you listen to them, particularly stanza 3, 4, and 5, usually the Christology kicks in. And you're already involved in the crucifixion before you finish the song. And he said, I just want to celebrate the rebirth of light. Why can't some of these carols be more inclusive instead of exclusive if you don't buy the whole thing hook, line, and sinker?
Okay.
And the fascinating thing, Joe, is the reason he's on to something here is because what he didn't know that I knew is that a lot of the carols were not Christian. They came from sea shanties or they were pop songs of the day.
Right.
And I've tried to explain to people, could you imagine if Billie Jean, if in 300, 400 years people were singing instead of "The Kid Is Not My Son" and "Mary was da-da," you know, "Mary had a son." And you start thinking, well, wait a minute, where did these songs come from? And how, in a way, do we bring it to a 21st century place without offending people like my mother, who love the carols? So keeping the bits that resonate and then opening them up to a broader audience.
Okay, so now apparently everyone's been after you to do this record your whole life. What was the deciding factor in you finally deciding to do it now?
I like a challenge. Mm-hmm. I realized when Doug said to me, you can't offend your... He said, Tori, you can't offend your mother. But you know, I want to like it too.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, geez.
There's a challenge.
What a thin ice patch I have to walk. And yet, I like a challenge. As a minister's daughter, I do know the sacred cows. I know that. And I wasn't trying, believe it or not, to make a record that would offend people like my mom.
Right.
Or my dad. But I wanted to make something that is part of a tradition of variations on the theme. It's an old Baroque tradition. It's part of the classical world. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's what the people who did variations on the carols that we sing today, that's what they did. So really, I'm only a part of that tradition in the 21st century.
As somebody who is a bit of a musical provocateur, I would not say there's anything offensive about this album at all. In fact, it's quite soothing and quite beautiful. You do some traditional songs, you rework them, but you also have some originals. And one of the originals that I just absolutely love is A Silent Night With You, which is, to me, a love song.
It is a love song. And Doug really encouraged me to do this because he talked to me a lot about feelings that he had when he would listen to the carols. And he said sometimes it wouldn't bring him to a religious place. It would bring him to a nostalgic place.
Exactly.
And he and I sat in that in his office talking about this particular idea.
Right.
And I went away thinking, my mother is going to lose her mind if I do anything to Silent Night.
Your mother looms very large in this album.
My mother is very close.
Yes.
To my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you met her, she would sit you down with some fried chicken, and she'd become your mother. She's everybody's mother. Any time people meet Mary, they want her to adopt them.
Oh, my, okay.
And so you can imagine you don't want to hurt Mary. But at the same time, Mary loves this song.
There you go.
She adores it. And so it took me time, though. I went off to Florida in the heat in 100 degrees and started thinking, okay, as a person who is married And I'm in a great relationship, but I was thinking about sometimes we don't value and appreciate what we have. And at Christmas, that is a time, whether you call it, you know, Christmas or the season or the midwinter season, it's a time when I think we start looking back. And I wanted to write a song, believe it or not, where at the end both of them value what they have.
Yes.
Also in this time, Joe, of, you know, people have had to rethink about what's important, what you do value, because material things, you know, they're not as easily gotten as they might have been 5 years ago.
Times are harder, yes.
Times are harder. So you start thinking, well, where is my gold?
Yeah.
And the gold in this song is in each other, in their relationship.
Well, it's a beautiful song. You also do a traditional song called A Star of Wonder, but you add this really surreal, amazing Middle Eastern sound to that. How did that come to you?
Well, when I was a little girl and I would hear We Three Kings in the Methodist church, and, you know, we love the Methodists. They teetotal, and they don't swing their hips a lot in the service. If you go to the black church, the black Methodists, they are rocking.
Yeah.
But in the suburban traditional Methodist church, it's kind of not so grooving. And I would always think to myself, well, where are the Persians? Because in this song, I don't hear them, feel them, and we should. So when I started gathering the songs that I wanted to do and rework, I thought, okay, we need a little Led Zeppelin on Star of Wonder.
So you're thinking, what would John Paul Jones do?
That's what I was thinking.
Well, it worked great. There's another one of your own songs called Snow Angel, where you have a big band behind you.
Oh, that's so Snow Angel is strings inspired by the early 20th century Russian composers,
mm-hmm.
and the big band is on a song called Pink and Glitter.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me about Pink and Glitter then, because I'm curious how it was working with a big band.
We worked with players out of New York City, mm-hmm. and they were just fantastic. I think because this music is in their blood. When you work with guys that have been playing this kind of music their whole life, they brought something to it that I feel like people that haven't been playing this music just couldn't bring. What they added to it, I was there at the tracking in New York City, and most of them were older guys, not all of them, but most of them.
Right.
And there's something about New York horn playing. There's like nobody else in the whole world.
Did they immediately take to what you were trying to put across?
Immediately. They were just there. And that was the thing John Philip Chanel had said to me. He was the arranger
yes.
for the brass and the strings. And he said, these particular players, it's one of those things when you know that they weren't watching the clock. There was something about it where they made it their own. It was a very personal session playing with the brass players.
Speaking of personal, there's a song, Holly, Ivy, and Rose, and your daughter, Natasha, sings on it.
Yes, she does.
And quite beautifully, I must say. How old is she?
She just turned 9 in September.
Oh, my.
So she was 8 when we recorded this.
Well, she sounds lovely on this. A, does she want to follow in her mother's footsteps? And B, how did this come about?
Well, she wants to be in theater. She
okay.
loves story. And I think acting and singing is part of telling a story for her. It all began, really, because my niece, who is 17, Kelsey Dobbins, sings on Candle Coventry Carol.
Yes.
And she and I worked together on that. And I think Tosh was fascinated with that process. So Tosh had come up with an idea to do a bit of a bawdy song. And I said, no, I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay.
And so she said, well, will you come up with something that is appropriate, Mommy? I said, yeah, let me work on it.
You certainly did just that. There's also a song called A Winter's Carol, which, from what I read, is a bit of a preview of another work you're going to be doing.
This is a song from The Light Princess.
Yes.
That I wrote for the musical, which will be sung by the whole cast. And I did a version that's a kind of a Torified version. I thought that I talked to the producer and the playwright about it, and they were all for it. And then I was thrilled that the children's choir in New York PS-122.
Right.
Did a version of it. The record came out, and the choir director there had probably only had the album a few days and had already done a choral arrangement where this choir, you can check them out online, did this song, Winter's Carol. And it just, I mean, I was in tears when I saw the children singing it because I thought, that's right. It's supposed to be a choral arrangement, and children and people will be singing it in The Light Princess. So it just worked out. It was sort of as if the director of the children's choir knew what it should be.
One of the hallmarks of this record, of course, is your piano sound. You play a Bösendorfer, which I guess is pretty much your trademark piano, correct?
I love them. They're my lady friends.
I want to ask you this in two parts. A, what do you like about them in particular? But then I'll get to the part two after you answer that.
You can have affairs with them and not end up on the front of the pages of the paper. And you can have affairs with as many as you want.
Oh, my.
And they don't rat you out, number one. And you can still be monogamous with your husband, which is fantastic. So it really works. I think everybody that should have a Bösendorfer, if you can, and it solves a lot of issues. They're sexy. They're alive. They're my best friends. And I don't know how to explain that. They're real creatures to me. I crawl up under them sometimes when I'm lonely. And just having a bad day, I just go lie on her. And then music, she plays me when I'm in live performance. It's not as if I play the piano. The piano plays you. If you allow it, you have to surrender to it. And obviously, you have to have the chops so that you can have the facility in your fingers. It's a spiritual relationship with the essence of the piano itself.
I have talked to many musicians about their instruments, and that is probably the most unique description I've heard yet. Now, I ask that because I remember my friend David Sigerson telling me that when you guys made your record Little Earthquakes, he told me that, and correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but before making the record, you tried out 10, 12, 15 different pianos before finding the right one to use.
Yes, we did. And at that time, I wasn't in a position to call a Bösendorfer and say, can you send one over? So we played on something at the time that we could get, being in my position with the budget I had, that worked, and that was connected to a studio. We recorded it at Capitol Records.
Yes.
That's always been a home for me, Capitol.
Yeah.
The studios I'm speaking about, not the record label. It's a separate energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back to Capitol Studios to record the strings and certain things. I recorded some things at different studios, another one in L.A., but I did other things at Capitol for this record as well.
Your regular drummer, Matt Chamberlain, is on this.
Yes, he is.
Now, what was that like working with him on an album of this nature? Because, I mean, he's quite an elastic drummer, of course, who can handle many styles, but what was it like for him to play traditional holiday music?
Well, the key was getting the right instruments in. We got in things like concert bass drum, concert bells, two octaves. We got in tubular bells.
Oh, wow.
All kinds of percussive things so that Matt had the correct palette to work from. That was really the key. If we got the right things for him to develop rhythm with, then the right ingredients, so to speak, for this, that was, I think, the real linchpin here. And so taking him off the kit pretty much, except for certain things, and you hear it here and there. But the bed was made out of classical percussion, and that's why it worked. John, of course, was on the upright. John Evans was very much on the upright for a lot of it, the upright bass, and he was doing concert bass as well. And then for things like certain songs like Star of Wonder, and you bring in your modern read as well.
Well, it's a wonderful album. It's called Midwinter Graces. I'm really knocked out by it. It's quite a wonderful surprise in this season.
Well, that means a lot. And what I'm so happy about is I'm still friends with Doug and my mom. They both love it. And my dad, too. And the funny thing, I have to tell you what my father said is, he said, look, you've just done what the Christian musicians, such as Charles Wesley, John Wesley's brother, had done. He said he had taken music from other sources and added his Christology to it, and what you've done is taken that yet again and brought in more of a modern 21st century perspective of a woman who believes in equal rights for all people. A lot of the carols, as you know, were written in a time where women weren't working, they didn't have a lot of rights, the suffragettes hadn't happened yet, so it's important to realize the context of where they came from. We're in a world now that believes in equality, so you can embrace, in some ways, I think, when these were written, things were worse in some ways for women than they were when Queen Elizabeth I was in power. It swings in roundabouts, isn't it, in history?
Exactly. So I guess that's why you didn't include Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, that's a thought.
What would your mother say about that one?
That makes her laugh, I think. But I don't think that was the right tone for this.
I don't think so.
But it does make my mom laugh.
Well, thank you very much, Tori. It's been great talking to you.
Always wonderful to speak with you.
This is Joe Basso with Music Radar. And again, I've been speaking with Tori Amos, whose record is called Midwinter Graces. Again, thank you very much.
All the best, Joe. Speak to you soon.
All right. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.